Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, when there is so much uncertainty, when there is things that we used to count on are no longer a firm foundation to be counted upon, we have you. You are always faithful. You are always to be trusted, and you will always see us through. Father, for this we are eternally thankful and grateful today. Now we give you this time that we might both thank you, minister to you, honor you, but also we know that every time we're in your house, you minister even more to us. You give us. Jesus, you said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we look for a filling today. We thank you for all of this in the name of Jesus. We all say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, if you would, this morning. No, take that back. Exodus chapter 15. I'll just remind you. Last week, we started on something that I believe is going to be a bit of a series here for us here. I'm on the subject again. Last week, we looked at Genesis 15:1. You recall? It says in Genesis 15:1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. You remember that? You, and we went through the process of looking at the scriptures, you also can claim this as God speaking to you, saying to you, he is your shield. And these things were said to Abram immediately after a battle, a war. He went against four kings and won, took all the spoil, all the goods, recovered all the people. The next thing that happened is Abram met Melchizedek, paid a tithe of everything to Melchizedek. Melchizedek blessed him. Then the king that he rescued came to him and said, keep all the goods, just give me the people. And he said, no, I won't do it. I vowed before God that I wouldn't take even a sandal strap from you because I don't want any king or anybody saying that you've made Abram rich. God will make me rich. A lesson there. There's the world's way and there's God's way. Amen. And so God announces, when it comes to your enemies, I am your shield. When it comes to your rewards and your finances and the goods that you need, God says, I am your exceeding great reward. Uses three words to talk about it. So big, bigger, beyond belief, big. God is. Not just that God will bring you or give you reward. He is the reward. And we said last week, if you have him, you have the reward.
Amen.
Amen. And if you have him, you have the supply for whatever it is that you might need. And so we can rest easy saying, I have him as my shield and my exceeding great reward. This little financial need, no problem. Amen. Now, where it said, I am your shield, in King James Bible, the word am, where it says I am, is italicized. In other words, it's not there. It would be literally just I. You recall in the burning bush episode with Moses, and Moses says, who shall I say sent me? What did God say? Tell them, I am that I am has sent me. This word here, the Bible translators chose to say, I am, to try to describe that. It's the eternal one, the all-sufficient, don't need anything from anybody one, the possessor of all wisdom, of all knowledge, and so on. The word is Yahweh or Jehovah. That I there is Jehovah. or Yahweh, or I think in Hebrew it's Yoreh or something like that. Yeah. So this is his name, Jehovah. Through the scriptures, there are more than one. There's several places where he says, I am. And then he'll say something so that you know a facet or a part of him. And again, what he is, and we receive him, what he is becomes ours. So, Jehovah, your shield. Jehovah, your exceeding great reward. And if you're born again, he's your father. And we looked at Galatians where it talks about Jesus became a curse under the law that the blessing of Abram or of Abraham would come to us in faith. So whatever God was to Abraham, he is to us by covenant. Amen. So let's go next to Exodus 15, 22. There are what some call 12 redemptive names of God. In other words, places where he says, I am, and then says something there, and it is a part of his work, part of what he's done, part of what he is to us. We know he's Jehovah our shield. We know that he's Jehovah our exceeding great reward. Let's pick up verse 22 of Exodus 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. That word Marah means bitter. In other words, they were probably sulfur, salt, almost poisonous to drink. It was, you just couldn't drink the water. Think of the Dead Sea or Great Salt Lake or one of those kinds of things, you know, bodies of water that are not drinkable. Verse 24, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. We could see here, and the Bible is full of types. What's a type? It's a model showing something in the future. There's type and anti-type. A type is, and we're talking about of Jesus, a type of Jesus. So the Old Testament will have a type of Jesus, and Jesus is the anti-type or the fulfillment of the type. So we see here a tree heals the waters. Well, some of you are sharp, already gone down the road here. What is the tree representative of? I heard at least one say it. It's the cross. Remember, the Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The cross of Jesus Christ was the tree where that curse, the bitterness, was dealt with. So here, the tree healed the waters. You'll find waters are a type of people, the masses of people, a sea. Sometimes when the scripture says, and I saw a sea, it means a sea of people. So a tree heals the waters. A cross of crucifixion heals the people. You see it there. The bitter waters are made sweet. Going on. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. These are object lessons. These are revelations. And God gives them an ordinance or a law or a principle right after seeing that the tree heals the waters. There's something there that they need to learn from this. Verse 26. He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. And from this, in the Hebrew, it is Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, R-A-P-H-A, Jehovah Rapha. So we are to see here that the cross, the tree, heals the waters. Now, particularly in New Testament language, when you see the word healed and you see the word saved, they are likely from the same Greek word, which is sozo, S-O-Z-O. So in Greek understanding, in Bible theology, to be saved is to be healed. And to be taken care of financially, to be prospered. The word blessing means empowered to prosper. That's what the word means. And so if you're wondering, does God want me to prosper? Well, if He's blessed you, you are empowered to prosper. Now, prosperity includes money. It's not only money. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people, plenty of people, who would trade the money they have for health. And, of course, you can be treated at it by a doctor and so on, and maybe there's some things you can do and some that you can't. I would trade everything I have and obligate myself to a life of servitude. I would sell myself as a slave if I could turn it all completely back for my wife. I would do that. I'd give up everything. It just simply doesn't work that way. So it's a stupid thought. Amen? So it doesn't even matter. That's how you make deals with the devil. Amen. So we can see here the principle and the statute is this. Follow God, and I'm your healer. Follow God, and He's your healer. The waters, the bitter waters were made sweet. He is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord God who heals you. Now, there are times in churches and places where people say, you're saying that God is your healer. No, God says He's my healer. Amen. Are you saying that God heals people today? Amen. No. He says He heals people today. Amen. You think you can just take God as your healer? He says He's my healer. And I got news for y'all. If God says He is, nobody can change that. I can't change that. You can't change that. The doctor can't change that. Mr. Theologian at some seminary. Can't change that. None of us can change. What God says I am, He is. Amen. Now it takes following Him. It takes faith. Faith comes by revelation. It may be that someone needs a revelation of, oh, He's my healer. I take Him as my healer. But if He is your shield and your exceeding great reward, He is also the healer of your body.
Yes.
And I can tell you, when there is no hope, there is hope.
Amen.
From time to time, people ask, well, has Sandy been to the doctor? You know, have you taken to a neurologist? Where's it all at? And my answer is, Lord. In fact, yesterday I went through it. I said, Lord, if there's some benefit to going to a neurologist, getting a picture of her brain or something like that after this injury, you know, I'd do it if you'd say so. And He said to me, no, there's no benefit. I am not against medical treatment, and we have benefited from it. And it could very well be said it was life-saving for her. However, they pretty quickly came to throwing up their hands and going, sorry about your luck. And I wasn't moved because I didn't put faith in them. I put faith in Jehovah Rapha, who revealed himself to me, who showed himself to me by his word through the years. And in that moment when I needed it, he came and was available when I called on him. And I asked him, what have you said about this? Lord, what do you say? And he said to me, what have I already said? And I went through some scriptures. You guys know the story. And he said, I'm not changing. Amen. I'm not changing what I said. Will you? And I decided, nope, I'm going to go with what you said. And I take you now. We take you now. I'm looking forward to hearing her side of what she went through in that moment where a death had a grip on her. And I spoke the word, you said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. You said, by his stripes we are healed. You said, Jesus, that you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm not moving from that. People like to say, well, God's unlimited. He can do anything. He's unlimited except for where people limit him, because he will not violate the free will. Amen. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life, it says in our Bible. In other words, that everybody be born again. Are all born again? No. Why? Because people refuse him. We could just as easy say, God is not willing that any be sick, diseased, injured, but that all should come to healing. Are they all healed? No. Whether by ignorance, meaning they don't know, whether by religion getting in the way, or by just flat rejection, people are not healed. I don't know about you, but when I started believing the gospel of healing, and I would lay hands on sick people, and they would recover. Some would ridicule me and say, well, if that was really true, why don't you just go in the hospital and empty it out? And now, you're looking back, you fool. Jesus couldn't do that. If Jesus couldn't do it, I couldn't do it. Oh, but Jesus could do anything. No, he couldn't. Study your Bible a little bit more. He preached in his hometown, and it says there he could do no mighty work because of their unbelief, except that he healed a few sick folks. He was very limited in what he could do in Nazareth because of rejection and unbelief. Nobody has a right to change who God is except in their own life. You get to decide. I've decided he is Jehovah Rapha for me. As for me and my house, he is Jehovah Rapha. We live in a house of healing. You need to get healed, come to my house. Come watch how we operate, because there's healing in my house. Amen. Amen. The word Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, if you look it up in a dictionary, in the Hebrew dictionary, it is this, literally, to cause or promote restoration of health or a right state after being sick or diseased. This is what it means, to cause. He's Jehovah the cause. Jehovah the cause. Jehovah the cause. Jehovah causes. What does he cause? He causes health or a right state of being. Now, sometimes, you know, we talk about healed relationships. That's correct. He's the healer of relationships. To cause or to promote restoration of health or a right state after being sick or diseased. This is the name of God that he declares concerning himself, and he gives to us, Jehovah Rapha. This is one of the I ams. And if God says he am, he is. Amen. And I'm going to agree with him. You am. All improper English, but you know clearly what I mean. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, some things that maybe we grew up, some of us grew up in church, some did not. I grew up in a denominational church, and great church, got born again and so on, but there were some ideas that were not scriptural, and I had to learn from the Word on some of that. But just take most believers, no one seems to doubt God's ability to heal, right? No one seems to doubt that. But I'm going to call it religion, but religion is full of those who question His willingness to heal. It's no question that He can. The question is, will He? And people looking to explain the world around them will usually default to this line of thinking. Well, if God intended to heal them, they would have got healed, and they weren't healed, so obviously it wasn't God's will. And this thought is very prevalent where the will of God is determined by or can be understood by what you see happen. World history is full of things happening that were not the will of God. Well, God sits on the throne. He's in charge. He's in charge, but on the earth, He's given it to men. And there are choices that men make that tie God's hands. And we have to understand that. Not everything that happens is the will of God. In fact, a whole lot of it that happens is not the will of God. Was it God's will for Cain to murder Abel? It was not. But Cain did it, and God punished him for it. So no one doubts God's ability, but His willingness is questioned. Now notice here where He says, I am the Lord who heals you. He doesn't say, I am when I get good and ready. He doesn't say, I am after I teach you a lesson. He doesn't say, I am after you beg enough and have enough prayer meetings and get enough people praying or get a bunch of prayer cloths. You know, people praying is fine, but it's not the size of the prayer gathering that moves God. He is the Lord God who heals before we pray. Sometimes what people call prayer is nothing but complaining and crying and begging and nose gushing and a mess. And that kind of prayer produces nothing. What we need to do is say, huh, I'm sick. Well, thank God, Jehovah is my healer. And this sickness, it's a lie. Amen. It's from the devil. Right. It's not mine. It doesn't belong here. I take, and I'm going to get to that in a minute here, literally take Jehovah as my healer. Amen. Going to the doctor's fine, but don't take the doctor as your healer. Take Jehovah, the Lord God who heals you. He doesn't say, I am, if you're one of the few that I've chosen to be healed. God heals some, and some the answer is no. They sent to me when we were in the hospital one particular charge nurse who all of the staff around the hospital there believed this is the strongest Christian believer that they have. They sent her and another one into our hospital room to try to talk some sense into us. And she went down the road of, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. And I thought to myself, haven't you ever read all the promises in Him are yes and amen? And she said, obviously, this time His answer is no. And wanted to talk me into her death as a Christian believer. Now, she's probably wonderful in many respects, but sowing discord or doubt, this is one of those things where Jesus talked about it'd be better if a millstone was hung around their neck and drowned in the sea than to take faith away. Pastor Webb sent to us Jeremiah 30, verses 16 and 17. I speak this scripture over Sandy every night, and I make sure it's fresh and not by rote every night. For I will restore health to you and heal you of all of your wounds, says the Lord. For I will, that's the part we take. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Some scriptures say declares the Lord. That scripture came by text to Pastor Sandy before she passed out, from our pastor, Pastor Scott Webb. And ever since, that has been the scripture we've stood on. And I know that's it, that's it, that's it. God's word concerning his will for her is right there. He said he would restore health to her. And her wounds, a brain aneurysm and then stroke, is a wound, not a sickness or a disease. So this is quite specific to her. Now verse 16, please. Pastor Webb included 16 and 17, and to this day he says, I don't know why. It just seemed like the thing to do. He says, I was after verse 17 because I knew that. He said, but seemed right to include verse 16. And there it says, therefore all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you I will make a prey. Now he said, okay, fine, that's there. I think within the first 2 weeks or so of the hospital, maybe a little bit longer than that, they started coming at me about paying them. How are you going to pay? In our case, we were a health share, not a health insurance. They didn't know how that works, wasn't sure what was going to happen. So they started coming at me. Jess particularly was helping me. Well, the CPA is helping me with financial concerns. She was in the same health share. She was coordinating with them and all that, you know. So they sat us down, and oh, they came at us. They came at me for over $1 million. I'm seeing pictures in my imagination and mind given me by the enemy, the devil, losing my house, losing my property, living in poverty. I wasn't going to stop pastoring a church, but I thought that means maybe an apartment in a bad spot in town. And I thought, I'll do whatever I have to do, but that's not me. I like space around me. I like wilderness. Y'all know where I live. Got deer running all over the place. And fishing on the bank of the river. That's right. That's right. Again and again and again, the enemy is showing me these pictures of losing everything, living in poverty, how in a small apartment, you know. Actually, he wasn't showing me with her in my house at all. She was at some home somewhere. No, I mean, the enemy will give you pictures, right? And I thought, I'm broke. I'm ruined. This is it. I'm destroyed. And I started thinking about, okay, I had some retirement accounts that I've been saving for years and investing. And I made a call back to somebody who I thought would know, Brother Rick. I asked him, can they, medical people, go after my retirement savings? He checked into that some, and we thought the answer is no. I had at least that. But if you pull that out early, there's penalties and taxes and all of that. Now, I wasn't going to be left with much, right? I see all of that. So here I am thinking, this is, you know, I'm tempted with a thought, this is my future. The Lord called to my attention. He said, now, did you notice Pastor Webb sent two verses? Yeah. He said, verse 17 was for Sandy, but verse 16 was for you. All who devour you shall be devoured. Adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder. All who prey upon you, I will make a prey. And it took months later, have her at home. And again, some things I discussed with my friend and brother, Rick. He called to my attention, and it rung true in my heart. He said, they stole from you, meaning the hospital. Now, they provided $1 million worth of service to us, right? I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, how did they steal from me? They didn't take any money from me, at least not yet. Because when we came out of there, I submitted to the health share, whatever the bill was, but I had no way of paying. Not that kind of money. You know, Lord, how did they steal from me? He said, every day they came at you, they took your hope. They took your peace. They took your faith. They tried to destroy you and knock you down to let her go. He said, and that angered me. That hospital managed by their staff telling me I had to let her go, that it wasn't the will of God. They sent the Christians and the chaplains, the surgical team, the head of neurological surgery, happened to be female. She was a pastor's wife. Now, I can feel some of that pressure talking about it. I can feel. Let me tell you, I wasn't here in those days. I was still in Texas. But the stress that we were under was enormous. But God made me equal to it every day, and I never faltered. I never dropped my words. So the Lord said that angered him. And he brought my attention back to this. They attempted to devour. Ooh, they're going to get devoured. They were my adversary. He's going to wrap them up as a captive. They came to plunder me, not of money, of faith. The issue we're talking about right here is the willingness of God to heal. They wanted to convince me. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes no. I said, no, absolutely not. It's always yes. They came to prey upon me. They're going to become a prey. This took time. This took months and months and months. But over months, that hospital was made prey. Is that saying enough? Do you understand that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe someday I'll say a little bit more about that. But the moment I thought I was destroyed, God turned around. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so when I say I would trade it all, I'm talking about $1 million. I would trade it that quick for her. It just doesn't work that way. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, we walked by faith. And earlier I talked about a time where the financial house had my accounts all locked up. We couldn't get to it. For months, Tammy and I lived by faith, taking care of her. There was not enough money, and I didn't really say anything to anybody. Well, my sister Lori knew, but no offerings, didn't ask anybody for help, nothing. We walked by faith. It was months and months and months, but we got to the point where God made me wealthy. Because of that 16th verse. Because I never doubted his willingness to heal. He not only is healing her body, her brain, he healed my finances. He's my shield and my exceeding great reward. If you want to tell me different, you're just a little too late. Glory to God. And some of these things, why talk about them at all? You know, the only reason to talk about them is if God can do it for me, He'll do it for you. I'm not anything special. He can be your shield. He can be your exceeding great reward. And all the plundering that has happened in your life, He can turn it around and plunder the enemies, make captive the enemies, and He can prosper you with great reward.
Amen.
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 Glory to God. I think I'm going to fall out. He is the all-sufficient, eternal I Am. And when He says, I am the Lord God who heals you, He is the Lord God who heals you.
Amen.
Don't let anybody talk you out of it.
Amen.
Go with me quick if you can. Matthew 4:23. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, if you want to say, well, I wish God would give me $1 million. Let me tell you. If I had a choice, go through this or not go through this, it would be, I don't need the money, never mind. I don't want the money, never mind. If this is the price, some people, they call it selling your soul to the devil. I would give anything for this or that. Be careful what you say. If you would ask me, would I, you know, for money, would I permit this? Absolutely not.
Amen.
I would die rather than this happen to her. I'd trade my life for hers, but it don't work like that either. God bless her. My mom said the same thing in those early days. She caught herself. She was thinking, Lord, take me, not her. And I said, Mom, that's beautiful, but that's not how it works. So forget that. Matthew 4:23. It says, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then His fame went throughout all Syria. They brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and He healed them. Don't sound like anything was left out, does it?
No.
There are no hopeless cases. Oh, this is just beyond, this is just too far, it's just too much, this just, no! They wanted me to agree at the hospital that it was hopeless. No. Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed. By the way, don't be impressed with demons. They're nothing. They're defeated.
Amen.
And when they manifest, get rid of them.
Amen.
Don't come looking for me to get rid of them. I'll get rid of them. But you're a believer. Get rid. Quit being impressed by demons.
Amen.
It says, and He cast out the spirits with a word. What's it take to cast out a demon? A word. Not all night prayer, not sweating and running around the room and yelling at the top of your voice and fasting and nope, a word.
That's right.
It says, and healed how many?
All
who were sick. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What was left out?
Nothing.
Well, I have so-and-so, and the usual course of that is, and doctor says it's going to go this, and then it's going to go that, and maybe we can moderate it with some medicine, and, you know, I think what upset the doctors in our case was this, that I didn't say, gee, doc, what are her chances? I never once asked them to predict her future. And when they tried, I shut it down.
Amen.
Don't you ever ask, how long have I got, Doc? You see advertisements all the time, or even YouTube videos, the five signs of colon cancer. And you go, oh, I better watch that video just so I know. Don't you go down that road. Because you watch something like that and you go, oh, yeah, it hurt the other day. And you will talk yourself into, you open the door. Now, I'm not saying when a symptom occurs that you ignore it. Because that's something that's treatable. The one I picked, I don't know why I picked that one, but. Well, it afflicted my daddy. So, you know, the way of the world is, well, it's in your family. Do you have a family history? Yes, redeemed.
Yes.
That's my family history. How did I get over here? Don't you permit none of that. Don't you permit none of that. Don't look at the ads. Don't look, well, you need to know all the symptoms of such and such just so you can watch for it. You open your mind to it and the enemy comes flooding in. You know? I had a dark spot on my arm this year. I've seen a lot of sun out there this summer, right? And I thought, that's different, you know. And the more I thought about it, well, maybe I ought to have that checked out. You know, nothing wrong getting something checked out. I made an appointment, but then I thought, wait a minute. I'm planning on a problem?
Amen.
And I sought the Lord about it. And, well, you can go check it out if you want, but you don't have to. Okay. I canceled that appointment, and it cleared right up. Why? He's Jehovah, my healer. He's the Lord God who heals me. I'm going to Him first, and I'm not going to a doctor unless He tells me to. Now, that can be sometimes a stubbornness that people are pretending to be in faith. Better be sure that you are. Praise the Lord. Don't go down that road. Matthew 12, verse 15. Matthew 12. There are no exceptions. He heals everything. Doesn't matter. Well, 5 times out of 10, forget that mess. There's nothing good there. Nothing that will help you. Matthew 12, 15. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed them, and He healed them all. Now, I went through these scriptures, and you can search the scriptures and never, never, never find, not once, ever, never find where Jesus ever said anything like, sorry, God heals some, but not all, and it's not you. Well, you never know. I'll lay hands. I'll spit and make some mud and rub it in your eyes, and we'll see. You won't find Jesus saying anything like that ever, ever, not once, not once, not once, ever. Now, let's look at something. Did Jesus reflect the will of God by never refusing? Now, there were some who weren't healed, and Jesus would have to bump them and adjust them to get them into faith. There were some like that, and He very well may have to do that with you and I, but it's never a no, because He's already done it. Remember, the tree was tossed in the waters, and the waters were made sweet.
Yes.
The tree's already been tossed. Jesus is already crucified. Jesus already had stripes, and by those stripes, you are healed.
Amen.
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 So you'll never hear Jesus say, sorry. You'll never see anywhere in the scriptures where Jesus ever, ever, ever refused to heal. And if God would heal some but refused to heal others, Jesus would have to have refused somebody if that was true. And it would be in the Scriptures. If it was the right doctrine, there would be examples. Some would be healed and some he would say no. If that was the revealed will of God, the Word of God, it would be in there somewhere. It's not. John 5:30, please. John 5:30 says, I can, Jesus speaking, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, meaning hearing the Father by the Spirit, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Said another way, Jesus never violated the will of God. He always reflected the will of God. And if it was the will of God to say no to someone in healing, Jesus would have said no.
That's right.
And he never once refused to heal somebody. Never once. John 6:38. I don't care who you are in this place. Susan, he didn't say no. He said yes. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You can know the will of God the Father by watching Jesus. If Jesus always healed, unless they refused or weren't in faith somehow, and he helped them with that, then God, his will is always to heal. John 14:9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Everything Jesus said and did is the Father. And when Jesus never refused to heal, the Father never refuses to heal. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So whatever Jesus did and said is the Father speaking. You agree?
Yes.
I'm going to skip down a little bit. After it tells about attributes of the Lord Jesus, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And it talks about some other things, works that he accomplished and so on. But I wanted you to notice, Jesus is the express image of the Father. The Father is no different than Jesus as he manifested and operated upon the earth. Jesus is the express image. I looked that up in the Greek dictionary. Express image is two words to translate one word. That one word means exact representation. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. The Father is no different than Jesus. Matthew 9:27, please. Matthew 9:27. I'm trying to go fast. Matthew 9:27 says this, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now here and other places, this is a separate issue we should talk about, but the persistence and the perseverance. You can receive healing, but a walk of faith is a persistent and persevering walk. You just don't quit. You just don't quit. You just don't quit. And if you don't see it on day one, you don't quit. And if you don't see it on day two, you don't quit. You keep going. You keep crying out. You keep going. You keep going. And if you see a little bit of improvement, oh, we're on the right track here. And you keep going and you don't quit. And you see a little more improvement, you say, good. should, but we're not there, and we don't quit, and we keep going. That's what we're doing at our house. We're not quitting. Verse 28, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? There's the ability question. They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, according to your faith, let it be to you. So Jesus knew that they believed he could. But Jesus left a question here. He said, okay then, according to your faith. It is necessary to exercise faith. And if someone is not healed, it is not a will of God question. It is a faith or revelation or perseverance and persistence question. Amen. And of course, verse 30, and their eyes were opened. Jesus sternly warned them. Well, let's just stop there. That's a whole other subject. Some, he said to them, don't tell anybody. There must be faith, number one, that God can heal. And let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 40 now. Now a leper came to him. Leprosy was incurable and a terrible thing to be stricken with. Body parts start falling off. There's sores and wounds and highly contagious. It's just miserable, awful. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing. So there's the second component, the willingness of Jesus, who's the exact representation of God. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion. Do you suppose he moves with compassion today?
Yes.
Oh. Yes. When we hurt, it hurts him. He knows it. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. You weren't supposed to touch a leper. Touched him and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. There has to be faith in God's ability, but there also has to be faith in his willingness. You must settle for yourself this question. And if you'll settle that it's always God's will to heal, that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals me. If you'll settle that, you're done. Then what's left? You receive and or you take your healing and you never quit. I know this. A miracle is easy to receive. But people often don't see the manifestation of it because they quit or settle for a partial answer or something like that. So some things take time. And sometimes it may take a long time because we waver. Two steps forward, a step back, then you're hurt for 6 months, and then you figure, oh, I better get back in it, and then you get hurt. That's what delays the manifestation. Faith must be in the fact that he's willing, that he's always willing. It's not a question of, will you heal me? You've already given me healing. Now, Lord, help me to walk it out day by day. He will help you. I can testify he will give you what you need day by day to walk it out in faith. One more scripture, Mark 11, 23. So when you know he's willing, first of all, he is Jehovah, the Lord God who heals you. Jehovah Rapha, that's who he is. Can't change that. Can't change that he's able and he's always willing. I said he's always willing. He never answers no. Now, folk may need to adjust some things. We can get away from God, away from God's plan for our lives, and things can happen. Did that happen for Pastor Shaney and I? I don't know, maybe. Right now, that's not the important part. And we don't worry about that. We're pursuing this healing. How it happened is a different question. I was once recording a program with Pastor Webb as his guest, and an illustration came up because we bear hunt together, and it worked, and I think I'll repeat it again, you know. When you're out bear hunting and you get maybe attacked by a bear walking alone in the woods, you know, and part of it is going in the dark, coming out at night, they're active at night, you know, it's kind of freaky. You're the only one for 5 or 6 miles. Your hunting buddy is 5 miles away. You're out there with the bears in the wilderness. If you get attacked from a bear, you better fight the bear and don't worry about which direction he came from. When you're fighting the bear, if you stop and say, "Now, how did that bear get up on me?" Just stop a minute, bear. I got to figure out how you got up on me. Which way did you come from? How come I didn't hear you? You see how stupid that is when it's time to fight the bear? After that bear's dead, and he's going to be dead. Because he can bite, but I can bite worse. After, maybe it would be okay to stand up and go, "Now, how did that bear sneak up on me? Because I don't want that to happen again." But in the fight, you better fight. So I'm not looking for how the bear snuck up on us. I'm first going to kill the bear. And after we've killed the bear, maybe we'll say, "Lord, is there anything we need to know about how that snuck up on us?" And then he may say, "What's it matter now?" And maybe when I get to heaven, we'll know more about it. But for now, I'm in the fight, and I'm going to stay in the fight. Not worrying about where the bear came from. Amen. So his willingness, settle that. Then you need to receive a healing, knowing that he can, knowing that he's willing, doesn't constitute receiving. The woman with the issue of blood, she knew and said, "If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed." Well, when she settled that in her heart, did she stay home and just, you know, she got it because she now knows. Same with you. When you have cleared this, he's able, and you no longer struggle, is he willing? Is that enough? No. Now you need to go receive it. And the woman with the issue of blood, what did she do? She threw people out of her way to sneak up and touch the hem of his garment. Now look at something here. Mark 11:23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast in the sea,' does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he believes, says." We could talk about how important it is, your words, but it's self-evident there, so we won't today. But then look at verse 24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Amen. When do you believe that you receive them? After you have it? When you can see it? No, you believe when you ask. The world says seeing is believing. That's wrong. Believing is seeing is correct. Now, something very interesting here, this word receive. When we use the word receive, we have the idea of something is offered, and I graciously say, "Okay, I'll have that." But if you'll look this word up, it means to take. And that violates many of our consciences concerning prayer. Lord, we ask you to graciously bestow, if it be all right, if it be your will, if you be willing, that you would grant to your servant healing in your good time, if it's all right. Yeah. Where I grew up, if it be your will. It's tacked onto every prayer as a disclaimer, you know. But Jesus says to receive is to take. The same woman with the issue of blood, if you'll recall the story, she didn't ask for healing. She didn't say, "Excuse me, Jesus, could I touch the hem of your garment? Because I believe if I touch the hem of your garment, I'll be healed." No, in fact, if you look at the story, you figure out that she snuck up behind him, didn't ask permission, didn't ask if it'd be okay. She up and took it. There's an aggressiveness to faith when you actually see it and understand it. You understand receiving is not a nice little sweet, "Okay, Lord, I'll take it now." It is, Jesus said, how did he phrase that? "The world suffers violence and the violent take it by force." Jesus was in support of violence to take something. This is what we're talking about. When you see it, you go, "Boom, that's mine. Y'all get away. I got it." We took healing for Pastor Sandy. And there were many trying to talk us out of it. And I told them, "Back off, sucker. It's ours. You ain't talking us out of it. No way, no way. We took it, we took it, we took it." Why? Because the Lord invited us to. The Lord told us to. When you pray and you believe, take it.
Yes.
You ever hear this phrase, you know, "Drive it like you stole it"? Not heard that one? Yeah. That's like, you know, driving a car away as fast as you can, squealing tires, making smoke, throwing rocks and everything. Drive it like you stole it, you know. When you take blessing, we think that's, "Oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. I don't take it." No, the Lord tells you, take it. Why? If you don't take it, you won't fight to defend it, and then you won't keep it. Take it like you stole it, if you know what I mean. You take the blessing of God, and then you don't let anything or anyone talk you out of it. Sorry, too late. I heard what God said. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord God who heals me. I am redeemed. I am blood bought. I am by His stripes healed. I am healed. Healing belongs to me, and I won't let anybody talk me out of it. I won't let any religious teacher. Preachers all over today are talking people out of their healings. There's a fighting spirit about faith. What did Paul say to Timothy? Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm over time. He is. I said He is. He is. Jehovah Rapha. Can't nobody change that. You decide for yourself. Is He Jehovah Rapha? I don't know, but some folk in here maybe should be jumping to their fight and to their feet and taking it now. Amen. Amen. No, don't be dignified. You need healing. Take it. Come on now. Take it. Hallelujah. Take it. Let me tell you something. I should be hearing in this room more than one standing up and just shouting out, "I take it. I take it." There you go. You don't play with the devil.
Jesus, I take it.
There you go. Anybody else going to take it? There you go. Is that a bunch of emotion? No. I take it. I'm glad my daddy is standing up. I take it now in Jesus' name. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals, and I take that blessing now to me. And I won't let the enemy, I won't let symptoms, I won't let the CDC or ABC or NEBC, anybody tell me about my health. But in Jesus' name, with long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. The name of Jesus, the name Jehovah Rapha, is higher than cancer, higher than injury, higher than any name that can be named. It's higher than dementia. That one just came up in my spirit. Now, we could hold a healing service right here, right now, but we did. We did. Glory to God. Good things are coming. Great things are coming. Great things are coming. Now, don't go from here in the emotion of being stirred up and say, oh, that was good in church today. You make solid commitment in your heart. You're never backing up from what you grab hold of today. I'm never backing up. I'm never backing. Somebody. Oh, how my mind works sometimes. I'm about to say something and I see True Grit, the movie, John Wayne, you know. I see him, you know. And this is the famous scene, y'all aren't Western fans maybe like me, but where Rooster Cogburn is facing all the bad guys, right? And they're in that mountain meadow there, all the bad guys on one side and he's on the other, you know, wearing the eye patch and everything. I won't tell you all that he said because he cussed in there, but he said something about what he's going to do, prepare, I can't remember exactly, but the bad guy says, that's bold talk for a one-eyed fat man. Yeah, fill your hand, you son of a... There you go. You saw it, brother, didn't you? You talk like this, and somebody's going to say, that's bold talk for a one-eyed fat man. To which your response is, fill your hand, you son of a gun. And then spur that horse and go. And be victorious. Man, I got to go watch that movie again. That's the best scene. Oh, and how he chambers the round in that Winchester. Spins it around. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah! So when the devil sparts off to you, just do this. And you're ready. Chamber up the Winchester and let him have it. Your Colt in one hand and your Winchester at the other. Reins in the mouth. Yeah! Boom, 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 boom. Right? That's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we do. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this word. I hope by your spirit you make it all make sense to these folks.
Thank you, Lord.
And feed us a good meal from it. Give revelation in it. And remind us of these things when we need to employ them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.